10th parak is called Arvei Pesachim, and in fact, Erev Pesach, that's what it deals with, the Leil HaSeder, and these will be halachas and concepts that we are the most familiar with relative to the rest of this Masechta. So on a high level, some background, there are three mitzvahs midoraisa that apply Leil HaSeder, the night, the first night of Pesach, and those three mitzvahs midoraisa are the eating of the Korban Pesach. Unfortunately, we do not have that mitzvah nowadays without the Beis HaMikdash, but we do have the other two mitzvahs. We have Achilas Matzah, the eating of the matzah, and Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of our exit of Mitzrayim. In addition, there are a number of mitzvahs derabanan, including saying Hallel during the meal and drinking the Arba Kosos, a very important mitzvah. And in addition, another mitzvah is the Maror. Now, the Torah does discuss the Maror, Al Matzah Sumorin Yachlu, that we have the Korban Pesach with Matzah and Maror, but in fact, to have the mitzvah midoraisa of Maror, we need to have the Korban Pesach. So without the Korban Pesach, we are left with the mitzvah midorabanan of Maror. So we're going to start going through the various Mishnayos and hopefully learn a lot of Halacha L'maisa as well after the different Mishnayos. So the first Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Aleph, Arvei Pesachim Samoch Leminchan Erev Pesach, next to Mincha. In other words, we're talking about Erev Pesach before Mincha, close to Mincha. Mincha we're talking about is Mincha Ketana, that is 9.5 hours into the day, 2.5 hours before the end of the day. And Samoch LeMincha means add another half an hour, so within 3 hours of the end of the day. In other words, if it's a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. day, this would be at 3 in the afternoon. So Arvei Pesachim Samoch LeMincha Lo Yochal Adam Ad Shetechshach. It is not permitted. Literally, you cannot eat, which means you cannot eat large amounts of food. In fact, there are certain things that can be eaten even at this time. For example, it's brought lalacha and Shulchan Aruch. We'll go through various halachas in Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, and Mishnah Berurah, etc., that it is permitted to eat a little bit fruit and vegetables even after that 9-hour mark into the day, 3 hours before the end of the day. You can also eat some meat, some fish, some eggs. The concept here is don't eat too much because we want to do the mitzvah of eating the matzvah b'te'avon, enjoying it. If we eat too much, we are not going to be enjoying the mitzvah too much. And in fact, somebody who's considered an istin, he gets full very quickly, has to be even stricter about it because we need to have te'avon, we need to be enjoying the mitzvah. In addition, there's another minhag that on Erev Pesach all day long from Alasa Shachar, from early in the morning, we don't eat any matzah that we can fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. Similar concept there. Don't have matzah the whole day. And in fact, there are some that are noheg to not eat from Rosh Chodesh Nisan any matzah that they could fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah at the Seder. So continuing in the Mishnah, the next halacha says as follows, Vafilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad shiasev. Even a poor person who normally doesn't recline in order to eat, that was done at the time of Chazal, not common nowadays, but at the time of Chazal, at least the wealthy used to recline, the poor did not recline, but on this night, everyone has to recline the mitzvah of a seva. Everyone has that obligation, has that mitzvah of obligation. And in addition, as long as we're talking about people who are needy, lo yivchasu lo ma'arba kosa shel yayin, the community used to give people, and we still have communities with Tomchei Shabbos and assistance like that, but there was a community charity that used to give, and it says when the community officials are distributing the tzedakah for people, they are obligated to give them for the arba kosas. If there are people who can't afford it, they also have to give them matzah and food for the yontifs and the chag, and afilu min atamchoi, which means even if they have to take the money from the tamchoi. The tamchoi was a certain fund that we used to give the real exigent, the real needy. For example, these are talking about people who did not even have two meals worth to their name. They don't know where their third meal or even their second meal is coming from. So even if we have to take from the emergency charity for people like that, it's so important to make sure that people have the wine to do the Arba Kosa, so we would also draw from that fund as well. Just to go through a couple more of the interesting halachas, pertinent halachas when it comes to Erev Pesach, we also have a mitzvah to set our tables in advance in a beautiful way. Different people have the minhagim to put out a lot of sterling silver to show we are kings, we are free people at this juncture, at the Lel HaSeder. We also have to set up the chairs so we can do the mitzvah as HaVaseva. It doesn't mean just having a folding chair that we're sitting on and leaning to the left. That's not the concept. We have to be leaning on something. So if we have a nice reclining chair that we can lean on something, it means leaning our head on something, even if it means leaning on the person next to us. But the Pitzkei Tshuva has an extensive discussion of this. It doesn't mean that we just lean and our head is hanging in the air. We have to be leaning on something. Just continuing in this vein, it's brought la halacha that even an ani hamitfarnes min hatzlaka, we are obligated to make sure that he has, as we mentioned, has the arba kosas. And if there is not amount, if he doesn't receive this, the needy person who doesn't have the arba kosas and he wasn't able to receive it from public funds, he even has to sell his clothing, has to borrow the money, or has to rent himself out, hire himself out in order to earn the money to be able to afford the arba kosas. The arba kosas is that important of a mitzvah. Mishnah Beis starts the discussion of the actual Seder, which means order, the process of the evening. And we're going to start out with, in this Mishnah, talking about the Kiddush, which was made on the first of the four cups of wine. So the Mishnah says as follows, Mazgula Kos Rishon, they used to mix the wine at the time of Chazal. It was very concentrated, so they used to add water. So this is the halacha, that for the leader of the Seder, he would not mix his own wine. Someone would do it for him, because that is a sign of Chayrus, that is a sign of freedom. And now we're about to get to a very important machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to the order of the Kiddush. There are two brachas that make up the Kiddush. This is applicable, this machlokas, not only Lel HaSeder, but as well all Yontifs and Shabbos. And the two brachas are Borei Pri HaGafen, on the wine itself, and Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, on the Yontif. And we have a machlokas as to the order of those brachas, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mevarach Al HaYom, V'Acharkach Mevarach Al HaYayin. First the bracha is on the Yom, on the Yontif, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, and thereafter you say the bracha on the wine. And the rationale for Beis Shammai putting the brachas in that order is because we're going in the sequence that we have encountered at the Lel HaSeder. In other words, we say the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim on the Yontif first, because Yontif started already, and only now are we taking out the wine to say Kiddush. So we're going in the sequence of Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, the holiday started first, and then on the wine. And Beis Hillel disagrees. If Beis Hillel Omri Mevarach Alayayin, the bracha is first said on the wine, V'Acharkach Mevarach Alayom, and only thereafter do we say the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim on the holiday. And their rationale is that if we did not have the wine, we would not be saying the bracha on the Yontif. So it's because the wine is the cause to say the bracha on the Yontif. The wine comes first, Borei Pri HaGafen, and then we say the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. In fact, that is how we paskin, like Beis Hillel. We say Borei Pri HaGafen at all of our kiddushes, and then thereafter we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, or with a bracha on Shabbos. Just some interesting halachas, as this is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the commentator. So indeed, it's brought the halacha that the leader of the Seder does not mix his own wine. Nowadays, the minhag is not about mixing wine, because we don't mix our wine anymore. We drink it out of the bottle, and we don't have to add water to it. But that same minhag is continued with pouring his wine. So we would pour the wine of the leader of the Seder. In fact, the minhag in many places is that no one pours their own wine. Everyone has somebody else pour it, and that's a sign of Chayrus. Another important halacha is that, in fact, there aren't only two brachas. There's an additional bracha, not only Borei Pri HaGafen and Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, but we also add Shehechayanu onto the Kiddush. So there are three brachas. And in addition, if the Lel HaSeder, the Seder, falls on Friday night, we add Vayechulu. And if the Lel HaSeder falls on Motzei Shabbos, we also have to say Havdalah. So we have a combination of Havdalah and Kiddush. This is the famous phrase. It's of the order of the brachas called Yaknahaz. Yaknahaz is the order of Yayin. That's Borei Pri HaGafen. The Kiddush, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. And then Ner, Yud Kuf Nun, Ner. And then Hey is Havdalah, Hamavdil Min Kodesh LeKodesh. Uzman, and then Shehechiyanu. So that is Yaknahaz, the famous Yaknahaz, when the Lel of Seder falls on Motzei Shabbos. Mishnah Gimel continues right after we've recited Kiddush and drunk the first of the Arba Kosos. The Mishnah says, hey, viyu lefanav, they would bring in front of him what we call the karpas, the vegetable that we dip typically in the salt water. It could be a potato, it can be parsley, whatever it is. And if you don't have anything else except what you're going to be using later as the maror, for example, if you only have lettuce that you'll use as maror later on, you can also use that as the karpas now. So it says as follows, mitabel bechazeres. Even if you're just going to have one vegetable and use it twice, you still dip it into the salt water and eat it now as karpas. And this is the only thing on Shemagia la Parperas Hapas. This is the only thing that you eat is the karpas until we actually eat the matzah for the to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah. So that's it. That's what we're eating before the matzah, and after the matzah is when we will have the maror and the meal, etc. Okay, so the next step. And the Seder is that we bring out this Seder plate, what we typically refer to as the Seder plate. The Mishnah says, hey, veyu lefan of matzah, vechazeres, vecharoses, ushnei tavshiling. They would bring in front of it the matzah is to eat, as the, for the mitzvah, the matzah, and the chazeres here refers to the whatever will be used as the maror. Literally, it's the lettuce. The lettuce is the ideal way to do. Romaine lettuce, the ideal way to do the maror, but it could be other items as well. The charoses, and the charoses is, you explain that as charoses. That's the English for charoses. As is brought la halacha, the charoses is zecher letit, is to remember the mortar that the Jews were working with in building the pyramids in Mitzrayim. And in addition, brought on the Seder plate is the shnei tavshilin, literally two cooked foods, two cooked dishes. One is zecher the korban pesach that we don't have nowadays, unfortunately, and one is zecher the chagiga that could be brought on the 14th of Nisan in addition to the korban pesach. So our minag nowadays is zecher the pesach. We bring some roasted meat, the shank bone, and also with zecher the chagiga we have a roasted egg. Now we have a machlokes as to the charoses. Is there a mitzvah or is there not a mitzvah to dip the maror into the charoses? As we know, we dip the maror into the charoses, we shake off the charoses. Is that a mitzvah or is that not? So the Mishnah says as follows, af al pi shein charoses mitzvah, even though the dipping of the maror into the charoses is not a mitzvah, we do it nonetheless. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok omer mitzvah, indeed, it is a mitzvah. As we mentioned, it's to remember the teat, the mortar that the Jews were working with while they're enslaved in Egypt. And the Mishnah continues and concludes as follows, v'mikdash, in the base of mikdash, they didn't have to have a zecher for the Korban Pesach, to having the roasted meat on a Seder plate, but rather hayu mevin lefan of gufo shel Pesach. They actually would bring to them the actual meat of the Korban Pesach together when they would bring the matzah, maror, and the charoses. So just by way of a little bit halacha lemaisa in regards to this Mishnah, when we do the karpas right before it, the minag is to note al yadav, we wash our hands before dipping, before having the karpas. We don't say a bracha on that netilas yadan. The lacha is that we bring to eat of the karpas less than a kazayis, so do we don't have a concern, do we have to say a bracha acharona on that karpas, and then we dip it into either chomis, into vinegar, into salt water, and we say borei pri adama. And the very important point is that when we're saying the bracha borei pri adama on the karpas, we have in mind that this bracha will also be effective on the maror that we are going to have later on in the meal, and because we're having less than a kazayis, we will not be saying a bracha achrona after the karpas. Mishnah Dalet continues the process of the Seder Mazgula Kos Sheni. Immediately they would pour the second cup. This is to inspire the children to be asking, why are we having two cups before we even start the meal? The Kan Haben Shoel Aviv. And now the son starts asking his questions. The son, the children, Vim Ein Das Baben Aviv Malamdo. And if the son is unable to ask questions, he's not knowledgeable yet, then the father has to teach him how to ask. And now we have the famous text of the Manishtan, a little bit different from ours, but it will sound very familiar, so I'm going to go fairly quickly. Question number one, Manishtana halayla hazemi kol halaylos. Why is this night different from all the nights? Shebechol halaylos anu ochlim chametz umasan, all ever other nights, we eat either chametz or matzah or both. Halayla hazeh kula matzah, and on tonight, the Leila Seder, we're only eating matzah. Question number two, Shebechol halaylos anu ochlim shear yerakos, on all other nights, we all eat all types of yerakot, vegetables, and we don't have certain required ones. Halayla Laila Hazem Maror, and tonight we are required to eat Maror. Question number 3 was said at the time when we had a base of Mikdash and had the Korban Pesach. Nowadays we replace it with another question. So this is the text of the Mishnah, Shebechol HaLeilos Anu Ochlim Basar Tzali Shaluk Mevushal. On all of the nights when we have our meat, we eat roasted meat, we eat stewed meat, we eat cooked meat. HaLeila Hazem Kulot Tzali, and tonight we're only having the Korban Pesach or the Chagiga, and it's roasted. We replace this nowadays with the question of Ben Yoshino Ben Misubin, that all other nights we sit, whether it's sitting or leaning, and tonight we only lean. So that's our third question. Nowadays, number 4, Shebechol HaLeilos, Anu Matpilim Pamachas, and all other nights we dip only once. The Gemara changes the gears to here. HaLeila Hazeh Shtei Pamim, and tonight we have 2 required dippings. We dip the karpas into the salt water, as we mentioned, and we also dip the maror into the charoses. And now the father responds to the child. Ulefi da'ato shel ben aviv melamdo, and it's based on the understanding of the child. That is how the father teaches him the responses to all the questions. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us, maschil b'genus u'misayim b'shevach, and the response of the father, he should start literally with the Klal Yisrael's disgrace and end off with their shevach, with their praise. In other words, this is on 2 levels. Number 1, he should talk about the genus to the shevach is the physical slavery of Klal Yisrael. That is the genus, that we started out as slaves, but we ended up as free people. That's the shevach. And also on the spiritual realm, that Klal Yisrael started out with Avram Avinu's father Terach as Ovdei Avodah Zarah, idol worshippers, and then we wound up L'Shevach being Ovdei Hashem. And the Mishnah concludes and says, V'doresh Ma'avi Over Avi, the drasha that we want to teach is starting from Aramean. Aramean, that is talking about Lavan tried to destroy Over Avi, Yaakov Avinu. That, those are 4 psukim there in that parsha that discusses Klal Yisrael's experience in being in Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim. So we have drushas at Shigmar Kola Parsha Kula. We make drushas on all 4 of those psukim there. In addition, just to mention Halacha Lamaisa, the importance of this give and take, the question and answer, that even if somebody doesn't have children at the table, so the wife of the Bala Bais asks the questions, and if not, you even ask yourself, if somebody is having a Seder by himself, you still ask yourself these questions. Afidul Talmidei Chachamim, that know the halachas of Pesach backward and forward, they still ask the Manishtana, and the person, the Bala Seder, responds with Avadim Hayinu, and that is the continuation of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Mishnah Hey, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer. Rabbi Gamliel continues to tell us the narrative of the Haggadah. Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Eilu BePesach, whoever doesn't say these 3 things and explain the reasons for these 3 things and bring the psukim from the Torah that discuss these 3 things, Lo Yatza Yedei Chovaso, will not fulfill the mitzvah of Haggadah at the Lel HaSeder. Ve'elu Hen Pesach Matza Umaro. These are the 3 things which we will describe, explain right now. Pesach, number 1. Why do we have the Korban Pesach? Al Shum Shepasach Hamakom Al Batei Avoseinu BeMitzrayim. That Kadosh Baruch Hu Pasach literally means passed over. That Kadosh Baruch Hu passed over the Jewish houses. In other words, there was no Makas Bechoros, the plague of the Bechoros, that the firstborn died in each of the Mitzri's houses. That did not happen to the Jews, and that was the time we brought our Korban Pesach then. So we bring the Korban Pesach to remember that as well. Matzah number 2, Al Shum Shenigalu Avaseinu Mitzrayim, to remember that Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim and they did not have their time for their dough to rise. So too, we eat the matzahs, the flat matzahs, just like they ate at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Maror number 3, why do we have the bitter herbs, that the Egyptians made the lives of our ancestors bitter in Mitzrayim. And another obligation as it relates to telling the story of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, behold, dor vador chayav adam liros es atzmo ki iluhu yatza mimitzrayim. Each and every generation, we have to view it as if we ourselves are leaving Mitzrayim. The Rambam has a famous gears. It's not liros el alaharos, but rather to show to really act it out. There are Sfaradim based on this that will act out Yitzias Mitzrayim holding bags on their backs and going around the table as if we are really exiting right now from Mitzrayim. Shenemar, and we'll read the pasuk as Rashi reads this pasuk. Vigadat alavincha bayomuhu leimor, that you in all future generations should teach your children Yitzias Mitzrayim bavurzeh, because of this, because of our doing the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, Amara in each and in generation, in future generations, even though we weren't literally participating in Yitzias Mitzrayim, but because we are continuing to do these mitzvahs, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu bavurzeh, the continuation of doing these mitzvahs, Asha Asemli Betzeisimi Mitzrayim, that's why we had the schus and our ancestors had the schus of leaving Mitzrayim. And after telling the story, the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, now we have an introduction right before we start saying the halal. So the introduction is a beautiful tefillah that says as follows, Lefichach Anachnu Chayavim Lahodas, because of that, the Yetzias Mitzrayim and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done to us, we have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu praise, Lahodos, Lehalal, Leshabeach, Lefaer, Leromem, Lahagder, Levarech, Laleu Kales, all of these beautiful things. The Misha Asala Voseinu Velanu as Kol HaNisim HaEla, we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing all of these Nisim Nivnals, these great miracles to our ancestors. Hotzianu Me'ev Avdus L'Cherus, he has taken us out from slavery, from servitude to freedom. Mi'agon L'Simcha, from sorrow to Simcha, to joy. Nume'evo, from Avelus, from mourning to L'Yom Tov, to having Simcha, to festivity. Ume'afela, from darkness L'Or Gadol, to having great light. Umishibud L'Geula, and also from servitude to Geula, having redemption. V'nomar lefanav haleluka, and let us say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, haleluka, praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is indeed a beautiful introduction to saying the Hallel. Mishnah Vav, now that we've said the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, talking about our leaving Mitzrayim, and said the introduction to the Hallel, we are now ready to say the halal. Now, in fact, ideally, we'd say the entire halal right now. That's the fitting place after talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. We give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about coming out of Egypt, but we don't say the whole halal. It's divided in two, part before the meal and part after the meal. The reason for that is Chazal were concerned that if we say it all now, the kids would fall asleep. So we want to truncate the halal for now, say a little bit, and then we'll say the rest after we get our energy from eating the meal. So we have a machlokis in our Mishnah. How much of the halal is said? Ad heichan hu omer, until when do we say the halal? Beis Shammai omrim, ad em habanim semecha. Beis Shammai is of the view that we only say the first paragraph of the halal, and that's it. Ubeis Hillel omrim, ad chalamish lamayin omayim. Rabbeis Hillel is of the view that we say until the end of the second paragraph, so there's only a one paragraph machlokis between the two, and then we have a discussion as to how do we conclude the halal for now, in order to move on with the rest of the Seder. So the first opinion is as follows, V'chosem b'geula, the chasima is that we end this part of the halal with geula, talking about redemption. So what does that mean? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hasher ga'alanu, this is the bracha that we say. We actually say, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed be you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Shem Hashem, but we say a short version of a bracha. In other words, just like we're saying, Borei Pri Ha'etz, Borei Pri HaGefen, it's a short bracha that starts with Baruch and ends and has a quick ending. So it starts Baruch Ata Hashem, and it ends, according to Rabbi Tarfon, with Hasher ga'alanu v'ga'alas avaseinu mimitzrayim, that who has redeemed us and have redeemed our ancestors from Egypt. And that's it. V'loha yachosim. And there's not a second ending. In other words, it's not like the bracha of Asher Yatzar or Kiddush that starts with Baruch Atah Hashem and ends with the shorter Baruch Atah, but rather it's just one simple bracha. Rabbi Akiva disagreed on two points. Rabbi Akiva says it's actually the longer form of the bracha, that we start with Baruch and end with Baruch. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva says it's not only backward looking, thanking Hashem for the geula from Mitzrayim, but also for the geula that we will have in the future. And accordingly, it's a longer bracha, which requires an opening and a closing with Baruch. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva is of the view, Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. We add on, in addition to what Rabbi Tarfon said, we also say, Also, Hashem Elokeinu will continue geinu l'moadim l'rogim, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring us in the future to the Moadim, to the holidays, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, V'lir Galim, and the Sholosh Regalim, Acherim, other of the Regalim, Habayim, Likrasenu l'shalom, not only this Pesach, but future Regalim of the Sholosh Regalim, in peace, Smeichim b'binyan Yirech, will be happy with the building of Yerushalayim, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, V'sasim b'vavod HaSechem, will be happy with the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, V'nochal Sham min Azvachim, and will have the schus, teed of the difference, korbanos, and the korban pesach, and the base of mikdash, etc. Ad, and we conclude at the end with Baruch Ata Hashem Gaal Yisrael, blessed you are, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. Mishnah Zion, we just mentioned in the prior Mishnah that we say the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, blessed be you, have Kodesh Baruch Hu, who redeemed Klal Yisrael from Egypt. We drink the second cup, and now we are up to the point that we wash Netilas Yadayim, to eat the matzah, and we go through the process and the various mitzvahs now at this point of maror and dipping the maror into chalroset, and we have the korech, the sandwich, and then we go have the shulchan aruch, we have the festive meal, and we're through the meal now, and we're up to the point of mazgulo koshlishi. We pour the third of the four cups. We've had two of the cups before washing the Netilas Yadayim for the meal, and now we're going to have two after the meal. So Mazgulo, we prepare the third cup of wine, we pour it, Mivarech al Mizono, we say Birkas HaMazon, and after the Birkas HaMazon, we're up to the fourth cup, Revi'i, and on the Revi'i, once we pour it, Gomer Alav Es Hala, we say the rest, the balance of Hala that we started before the meal, and in addition, Ve'omer Alav Birkas Ashir, we also say what's referred to as Birkas Ashir, the bracha of the song, the blessing of the song. There's a machlokis in the Gemara, what is this referring to? Is it referring to the bracha that we say at the end of Halal, Yehalulucha, etc., etc., Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mehulah Batishbachos, or is it referring to Nishmas Kol Chai, that we end up with Yishtabach? In fact, we do say all of those at the Seder, so that is with the fourth cup, and now we get to an interesting machlokes. If somebody wants to have additional wine, when is that permitted? So the Mishnah says, Bein HaKosas Halala, between those cups. So the way to read this, one way to read this is between those two cups, it's referring to between the cups 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. In other words, we've had the two cups before the meal, now two cups after the meal. If somebody wants to drink additional wine between those two sets, in other words, between 2 and 3, which is during the actual meal, it is permitted. However, then you're permitted to drink because you're eating along with the wine, you're eating food as well. So there's not a high risk that somebody will become intoxicated and miss out on the balance of the meal. It's unlikely that the person will get drunk and miss out saying the rest of the halal. However, the Mishnah concludes and says, Bein Shlishi the Revi, between the third and four cups. In other words, we're saying the halal on the fourth cup. So between the third and fourth cups, when we're not eating anymore, Lo Yishta, somebody should not have any additional alcoholic beverages at that point, because the risk is higher, because you're not eating right now, that the person will become intoxicated and will fall asleep and will not finish the Hallel at that point. Mishnah Chetz teaches us what happens at the way end of the meal at the Leil HaSeder. Ve'ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach ha-chafikoman. We'll discuss what happened at the time that they had a Korban Pesach, and then we'll apply it to nowadays that we don't have a Korban Pesach. So at the time that they had a Korban Pesach, it was prohibited to eat anything after the Korban Pesach, so the tam, the taste of the Korban Pesach, will stay in the mouth. So the Mishnah says, ve'ein maftirin achar ha-Pesach. Ein maftirin is we cannot have anything more, eat anything more after the Korban Pesach. Afikoman, we don't have the afikoman. Afikoman, it literally means dessert. In other words, it's a Greek word that's a contraction of afiko, bring out minaychu, the delicacies, bring out the fruits, bring out the cake, bring out the dessert for us. We do not have the afikomen after having the Korban Pesach. So just to read it one more time, ein maftirin, we do not complete achara Pesach, the meal in which we had the Korban Pesach. Anything after eating the Korban Pesach, we don't have afikomen, we do not have the dessert. Nowadays, we use the word afikomen to refer to the end matzah that we have at the meal. We don't have the Korban Pesach to end the meal with, but we do have the matzah, that we eat in place to remember the Korban Pesach, so we don't have any dessert after having our afikoman, which is the matzah at the end of the meal, and we'll talk about the halachas in a little bit. Let's just finish up the Mishnah. Yashnu miktsasan yochlu. This is talking about, in particular, at the time that we had the Korban Pesach and that people ate as a chabura. The halachas do apply today also for our afikoman, but we'll talk fundamentally initially about how it was when they had a Korban Pesach. What happens if you have your whole chabura? The chabura have to eat together only in one place. You're not allowed to go to a second place. The Torah tells us eat chabura one place only, not separate places, or don't move from one place to another. But what happens, Chazal say, is people fell asleep in the same place. So Chazal are of the view that when they wake up, that's like eating in two separate places. You ate in one place and you fell asleep, and you're waking up now to eat again. That's like another place. So the Mishnah says, Yashnu miksasan, if some of them, but only a few of them, not everyone fell asleep, yochlu, they can continue eating the Korban Pesach. Kulan, however, if every one of the chabura fell asleep, lo yochlu, they cannot continue eating of the Korban Pesach, because that is like eating the Korban Pesach in two different places. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says as follows. We're going to read Rabbi Yossi in one way. There are two ways to read him. We'll just take one of the views that he's talking about those few members, a situation that only a few people fell asleep, that the Tanakama said, as long as there were some of the chabura that awake, even those who fell asleep can continue eating the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Yossi qualifies that and says, "Nid namnemu yochlu." If those people who fell asleep, they only dozed off, in other words, they did not enter a deep sleep, then they can continue eating the Korban Pesach when they wake up. However, nir demu, if they really fell asleep, lo yochlu, even those few cannot continue eating the Korban Pesach. Just some halacha lemaisa as it applies to our afikoman, our minog, our halacha nowadays is that we eat the afikoman. Everyone eats a kazayas of the matzah that we kept on the side for the afikoman. We eat it at the end of the meal. The rationale is it's zeichel Pesach to remember that the Korban Pesach was eaten when we're full, so too we eat the afikoman when we are already full. On a lechatchila basis, it shouldn't be only one kazayas, but should be two kazayasim. Why? So one kazayas to remember the Pesach, the Korban Pesach itself that we don't have nowadays. And number two, the other kazayas is to remember the matzah that was eaten in conjunction with the Korban Pesach. Al matzah so marin yochlu. So the matzah that was eaten. So we should have ideally two kazayasim of our afikomen. And the halacha continues, just like the Korban Pesach was the last thing that was eaten, so too the afikomen is the last thing we eat. We shouldn't be eating anything after it, so the taste of the afikomen shall stay in our mouths. And just like the Korban Pesach could not be eaten in two different rooms, and even in the same room at two different tables, we should continue the same. Our afikomen in place of the Korban Pesach we don't have, we should continue those same halachas. It should be eaten only in one place. And even if it's in the same room, it should not be eaten at two separate tables. Stay in the same place, just like the Korban Pesach. Mishnah test discusses, how about if somebody leaves over meat from the Korban Pesach after Chatzos of the Leil HaSeder, midpoint of the night, Chatzos HaLaila, at that point, on a deoraisa level, does the meat become nosar, left over, and has to be burned? It can't be eaten the entire night through up into morning, or can the Korban Pesach be eaten all the way up into morning? Now, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah is that the Korban Pesach becomes nosar at Chatzos, and accordingly, on a deoraisa level, it has to be burnt once we hit Chatzos, and anyone who touches it, the Mishnah says, HaPesach achar Chatzos, mitame asayadaim, it also, anyone who touches it makes the hands tame. The opinion of Rabbi Akiva, not recorded in our Mishnah, is only at the morning does it become nosar on a deoraisa level. On a derabanan level, it becomes nosar after Chatzos, but on the deoraisa level, that is not the case. So our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that at Chatzos, it becomes nosar on a deoraisa level, and it's metame as hayadaim. In fact, the Mishnah continues, ha-pigul v'ha-nosar, if you have meat that is pigul, we'll define what that means in a second, and v'ha-nosar, and leftover meat after the time that it could be eaten, are metamim as hayadaim. Both of those classifications of korbanos will metame the hands of somebody who touches it. So pigul is when a korban is brought by a kohen, he does one of the four steps that we've seen earlier on a masechta. He does either the shechita or the Kabbalah receiving the dam, the blood, or the Holacha bringing the blood to the Mizbeach, or the Zrika of the dam on the Mizbeach, he has in mind that something is going to be done outside its proper time. For example, he has in mind that this Korban will be eaten outside the time that it's permitted to be eaten. For example, when it comes to the Korban Pesach, he has in mind it's going to be eaten the next day, but it has to be eaten in that night, or for a common Shlamim. If you have 2 days and a night, and he has in mind this is going to be eaten on the third day, that would be an example of pigul. So the pigul, the Mishnah says that it's mitame ayadaim, it makes impure the hands of the kohen. In other words, if he then goes and touches trum or hekdesh, that will become tame as well. And this is for a reason to ensure that the kohen, when he's bringing a korban, only has proper thoughts, not invalid thoughts. So we're going to effectively fine him that if he has invalid thoughts, he makes a korban pigul, then his hands will become tameim. And similar concept with nosar, anyone who leaves over meat past the time, we don't want people to be lazy, so we're effectively fining them, we're punishing them, that if you leave over meat and you touch that meat, then your hands become tame. The Mishnah now concludes on a point that's not relevant halacha l'maisa nowadays, but at the time that a Korban Pesach was brought, we've discussed that there was also the option on most of the time to bring a Chagiga Yudala, the Chagiga on Erev Pesach as well, and each of them had their own brachas. So the question that we grapple with here is, obviously the main mitzvah is the Pesach, so what happens if you said the bracha on the Pesach first? You went out of order, you're supposed to say the bracha on the Chagiga first and then the Pesach, but if you went out of order and you said the bracha on the Pesach first, do you still say the brach on the Chagiga? The Chagiga is less important than the Pesach. So the Mishnah says, Beirach Birkas HaPesach, if you said the bracha on the Pesach first, Pater es shel zevach, you have taken care of the bracha on the Chagiga. You no longer say that because the Chagiga is of secondary importance to the Korban Pesach. Beirach et shel zevach, however, if you went in the proper order and you said the bracha on the Chagiga first, lo pater et shel pesach, divi Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael has a view that if you said the Chagiga first, and then thereafter you're having the Pesach is the key here, so you would say the second bracha on the Pesach, you have not exempted the Pesach with the bracha on the Chagiga. Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo zo pater zov, lo zo pater zov. Rabbi Akiva is of the view that neither will exempt the other. In other words, neither one can, its bracha will be effective on the other one. Even if you said the bracha on the Korban Pesach first, even that will not be effective for the Chagiga because each of them are independent mitzvahs. Just to end off on a little halacha, it becomes to afikomen, it's an issue that comes up for many families each year, is how late can you go and not eat the afikomen? In other words, when do you have to eat the afikomen by? So as we mentioned, and this is brought in the Rambam, in Hilchos Korban Pesach, Mina Torah, on a Doraisa level, the Korban Pesach is eaten all night long, but Chachami made a gzera to not eat it past Chatzos in order that we not do an aver. In other words, to make sure that we are eating the Korban Pesach and we're not going too late with it and that it will become noser. So on a Doraisa level, it can be eaten all night, but Chazal decreed that it should be done only eaten until Chatzos. We see a similar halacha when it comes to our Kriya Shema, that the Kriya Shema of at night time can be said all night, but Chazal instituted we should say it up until Chatzos. So we similarly, just like the Korban Pesach, yeah, on a Durabana level has to be eaten by Chatzos, so too, when it comes to our Afikomen, the halacha is it should be eaten by Chatzos. So some families have to go relatively quickly for them and make sure the Divrei Torah don't extend until the point that it will push the whole meal and the afikomen eating past Chatzos. That's something indeed that we should be makpid about.